Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'll tell you, I am fired up today because how about them Bears?
Dan Wiederer.
Dan Wiederer from the Chicago Tribune again.
Bears beat report and enterprise writer for the Chicago Tribune.
We'll mention this mainly because Chicago Tribune writer Dan Wiederer said we would mention this nugget.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast with our own David Hall.
I've said this before, playing quarterback in the NFL is a lot like marriage. It's not about being a hero all the time. It's about limiting your mistakes. And if you do make a mistake, make sure it's not a catastrophic one.
We want it to be a fast Friday and a fast focus Friday.
Dan Wiederer.
His name is Dan Wiederer. Wiederer time.
Bears.
The Take the North pod.
Dan Wiederer talks football with you.
Weedsy joins us right now in the Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. And this segment with Dan Wiederer, brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. For all the right reasons, call 866 Four Seasons. Dan, it is me, Spiegel, and company. The company I keep today is your buddy from the Take the North podcast, David Hall.
What's up, Dan?
Yeah, I asked Shane whether I was getting Vegas Hall or Take the North Hall, so I could adjust my system accordingly, but it looks like we've got Take the North Hall today.
Yeah, I'm underserved. I'm Take the North Hall. I'm not Vegas Hall.
Has there ever been a late night Take the North taping when Vegas Hall might have appeared?
We've had some late night tapings.
We can fix that, David. I've got bourbon in the office.
Oh, do you? Well, I'm talking.
It's been a long day.
About time.
There we go, yeah.
Yeah, for David.
About time.
We might need a late night pod on Sunday night, because this one's going to go late when the Bears finish up in Houston here.
It feels really cool to be previewing a primetime game of consequence. The Texans are one of the darlings of the NFL in terms of C.J. Stroud, obviously, their first Sunday night game in 5 years. The Texans are who we want the Bears to be next year, having come off a year similar to what they had last year. What's your feeling before we get to some of the specifics and some of the Roma Dunze and Keenan Allen stuff? What's your feeling as to like how well the Bears are going to show up and measure up in this one?
Well, you said a good word there, Spiegs, and it's consequences. It does feel like a team that is going to be consequential here for most of 2024, and it's fun. It's fun to be along for that ride, for them to be relevant again, to be having these games where you can kind of have a measuring stick performance and see where you're at in your development. I'm a little bit worried about the first road trip for Caleb Williams, coming with a depleted receiving core, coming off an offense performance that leaves you with a little bit of concern that they're a ways away from truly finding who they are as an offense. And so you're going to have to lean really, really hard on your defense. I'm just not sure the defense is going to be able to create as many game-turning plays as they did a week ago. And so at some point, you're just going to have to lean into your offense to do something for you, and I'm not sure they're going to get it done this weekend.
Injury report says Ryan Bates out, Kerry Blassingame game out, so you're without your guard rotation and your fullback. Receivers, Roma Dunze, iffy. Keenan Allen, iffy. What's your expectation about how these injuries might affect the offensive approach?
Yeah. So, David, with the receivers, first and foremost, Keenan Allen was a DNP all 3 days of practice this week. You know where I'm at currently with my worry level on that heel injury lingering. I would not be surprised if he was inactive 90 minutes before kickoff on Sunday night. Odunze getting back on the practice field was a bright sign, obviously, with the way the week has gone. I think some of this is going to be sort of a combination of pain tolerance for Rome as well as confidence in the knee with what he can do. But at the same time, I think the organization has to use the big picture view here and just make sure that you are putting the kid in a position to succeed for the long term. You know, you can talk all you want about the risk of causing further structural damage being minimal to none. But there's always my fear is that a guy starts favoring something because he's not quite confident in it and then he injures something else. And so I think you're just going to have to feel that out over the next 48 hours and make the right choice, not just for Sunday, but for the rest of the season. As you mentioned, that will cause a ripple effect to your offense. It will cause you to lean on some other guys at the receiving position, whether that's Tyler Scott, DeAndre Carter. And then obviously, as you mentioned with Bates out, Nate Davis is your starter, and he's going to have to try to play the entire game at right guard.
It's amazing how quick it can go from feeling like, oh, boy, I love this wide receiver group. Here we go. Is this the best trio in the league? I mean, it's got to be up there, blah, 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 to, hey, I hope DeAndre Carter is going to get a lot of looks. I mean, 7 targets in 17 games played for the Raiders last year. I didn't expect to see this much DeAndre Carter. Do they legit feel good about him as a wideout, Dan?
I mean, he's here because he's a return specialist who can make big plays like he did in Week 1. Big punt return, big kickoff return, put you in scoring position. And then he was forced onto the field even more in Week 1 because DJ Moore was out for a little while. And it's my understanding that the deep shot that Caleb missed to DeAndre Carter is a play that normally would be for DJ Moore. But DJ Moore at that point in the game was out, right? And so this is why I say there's some concern going into Sunday for an offense that doesn't really know who it is yet, trying to feel out who it is, and then you have to do so with a lot of moving parts. And so it's going to be a big test for Shane Waldron for sure.
He caught 46 passes a couple years ago for the Chargers. Yeah, I mean, he's no slouch, but the point is well taken. You're experiencing a drop-off significantly when you are missing two of those receivers. No doubt
100%.
About it.
Yeah, 100%. And you're going to have to establish the running game a lot more than you did in Week 1 as well. So that's going to be a test for Shane to really get some rhythm going early and getting Caleb into a comfort zone where you know he's not as nervy as he appeared to be a little bit in the season opener.
So, Dan, looking back on some of my research on Shane Waldron from the offseason, I mentioned this about an hour ago. Here's some other stuff that I looked at. Last year, the Seahawks, they ran 11 personnel, one running back, one tight end, 64.2% of the time, 15th in the NFL, so middle of the pack. They ran 12 personnel, one back and two tight ends, 22.3% of the time. That was 10th in the NFL. And they ran 13 personnel, one back and three tight ends, 8.8% of the time. That was 2nd in the NFL. So it's not a super high number, but it was 2nd. This past Sunday, Game 1, 69%, they ran 11 personnel, so much more, 5% more than he did last year. They ran 11 personnel. 17%, the 12 personnel, that's down 5% from a season-long total in San Francisco. So, whether it was situational or what, and now with the urging of Cole Kmet, the numbers say they were down in terms of what Shane Waldron usually likes to do in terms of two tight ends, and they have Gerald Everett. I wonder why it was down in the first place this past week.
Yeah, it'd be really interesting to take a deep dive with Shane and put him in some truth serum and try to figure out what they were trying to do in Week 1. I think that, it's a small sample size, and we'll kind of feel the month of September out in terms of which direction the Bears go with some of the things that they're doing, not only personnel wise, but some of the concepts that they're trying to get to and really identifying as things that they like and that they can run well. And so it really is a work in progress. And we kind of warned of this back in June and July and into August that it was going to be like this for the first 6 weeks of the season. And then you can come back and take the bye week and do some self-scout and try to figure out who you are and who you can become as an offense. But in the short term, you've got to find some things that work, and not scoring offensive touchdowns for an entire football game at home is not acceptable. And now you're on the road in an environment that I think is going to be pretty raucous on Sunday night with a rookie quarterback who is going to have to learn how to, use the silent cadence and do some things in a road environment that he hasn't had to do. And so it's a challenge, and Shane's part of that challenge, and he's got to find a way, again, particularly on the money downs, to make sure that no matter what personnel grouping you're in, you remember who your trusted playmakers are, and you get those guys the football. It's always about players more than plays in situations like that, and I think they've got to remember that on Sunday night.
We talked about this some on the Take the North podcast, which dropped this morning, and I wonder, given how dangerous the Texans receiving core is, you've got Tank Dell, you've got Nico Collins, you've got Stephon Diggs, who has had a career against the Bears. How aggressive can Matt Eberflus afford to be with the pressure? How much can he afford to take the risk of coming after C.J. Stroud, maybe with a secondary blitz, and leaving guys behind him man-to-man with receivers who are pretty capable, more capable than the Titans receivers were, of getting loose?
Well, look, you did some things in week one that were pretty encouraging in terms of creating pressure without it being solely Montez Sweat doing so. You got a huge play from DeMarcus Walker late in that game that caused the pick six that won them the football game. You had two sacks and a forced fumble by Darrell Taylor. You had some things working there. And so you want to make sure that you continue to try to get that initial pressure from the front four, and then mix in timely manner and in situations where it feels right, some extra pressure. You heard me, David, yesterday talk to you about this 3-on-3 matchup between the receivers you just mentioned and Jalen Johnson and Tyreek Stevenson and Kyler Gordon. I don't know that you're going to get a 3-on-3 matchup like this many weeks in the NFL anywhere in the league. And so it should be really fun to watch that play out on Sunday night, because I think that the Bears can match that very impressive receiving core the Texans have with a very impressive trio of starting cornerbacks that they have in their own right.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool, and should be pretty cool. I hope we get a shootout, frankly. I find myself wanting to see Caleb measure up to it. And maybe it's too early in the year. We referenced earlier in the show, Dan, the game that that C.J. Stroud had last year against Tampa Bay, when he threw for 470. And like, they scored on 6 of 7 second half possessions. Just absolutely outrageous. But like, I dream of a game like that at some point for Caleb. I know it's early. I know it's early as hell. But one of these weeks, we might have something like that with the weapons at his disposal.
You're not alone in wanting to see that. I think that would be a riveting show, and one that we kind of all sit and wait to have happen. I don't know that it's going to be this week. I will say this, obviously, you come off a week last week where your longest completion was 13 yards. It was a nice slant that Caleb ripped to DJ Moore. But the Indianapolis Colts had 3 completions last week of at least 50 yards. And Anthony Richardson hit Alex Pierce for a couple and Ashton Doolin for a big touchdown. And so the opening should be there at times throughout the game to hit some of those chunk plays that were non-existent in week one. And so I think you get one or two of those, and all of a sudden Caleb starts feeling a little bit better. The huddle starts feeling a little bit better. The playmakers start feeling a little bit better. And maybe you can get rolling from there.
And allow him to make those passes, allow him to take those shots. You have to think big, even though your main concern is getting him back on track. You want him to be able to play mistake-free football, but you don't want to coach the special out of him. Because of the way the secondary of the Texans gave up those big plays, to me, that's an invitation early. I don't know about often, but at least early, to take your shots down the field.
Well, and you got to execute, because one of the most frustrating plays from last weekend was on the opening drive after halftime, where they had a play action concept dialed up to Keenan Allen, and it was going to be good for at least 30, maybe 50. And Kari Blasingame was a little bit slow and getting over in protection, maybe not in the best position before the snap with where he was asked to align to pick up the blitz, but he didn't pick it up. Caleb's arm got hit, and it's a harmless incompletion rather than a 40-yard completion that would have had Soldier Field alive, and you might not have needed all those special teams and defensive heroics down the stretch to win you a football game. And so when the opportunities present themselves, execute, and do the things that you're supposed to do to make those plays hit, and all of a sudden we'll be having a different conversation.
All right, let's get specific here, guys. The three of us, it's Dan Weider along with Matt Spiegel and David Hall, working the double here on 670 The Score. So considering what we've heard from Caleb and what we've heard from analysts that you guys respect, what are some specific things that we can ask Caleb to be better at this week? I'll give you the first. He said it himself.
Yeah.
That his drops were too quick sometimes. He told us that his dropbacks were too quick. So I'm going to be on the lookout for that and see if he looks a little more under control. David, I think you used the word anxiety earlier on because he admitted that sometimes the drops were too fast. So I'll start there. What's something from your perspective, Dan, that you want to see specifically him be better at this week?
Yeah, Speaks, I'll add on to that with saying just the ability to understand how to drive through traffic. And what I mean by that is, you know, when you're a young driver in driver's ed, you don't really know how to get on a highway and maneuver around. And that's kind of what Caleb is in the NFL right now, feeling out the speed of this game. And I thought there were some times last week where he didn't create the windows for himself to make the throws, and you had a handful of passes batted down. So I want to see fewer balls batted down either at the line of scrimmage or you know, in the passing game down the field a little bit, just by the quarterback understanding the lanes and the windows that are there for him.
Take the gimmies, make the layups, because he has not been inaccurate either at USC or in the preseason. And suddenly it looked like he was missing low, but he was missing and overthrowing guys down the field. That's not the Caleb Williams that I think that we have seen. And it certainly wasn't one that was hyped coming out of USC. That's not what made people call him a generational talent. He's got to be more accurate. If he was not named Caleb Williams and came from a different pedigree, We'd wonder about the accuracy of him after his first start.
That's good stuff. All right, so there's three. More control on the dropbacks. You know, be careful going through traffic and make sure your passes don't get batted down to the best of your control. And hit the gimmies. I'll add what you referenced earlier, David. Hit the deep balls when they're there. If the deep ball's there, show us you can have the calm and the touch to do it. I want to go back to what Dan said about the batted balls, though. I love that idea that he can control that more by moving his feet. He's so good at that, at manipulating the pocket, looking to throw. You think he missed some opportunities to do that? Show us that skill set last week.
I think it's just a feel thing, right? And you don't get a ton of experience with that in the preseason when you play, you know, three or four dozen snaps at live speed. And so, you know, you just have to gradually ease into that and figure out what these lanes look like in the NFL and how fast they close. And sometimes that's your throwing lane. Sometimes it's the way you kind of manipulate the pocket with your own footwork to create yourself a window to make a throw. Would like to see that. And then obviously I think we'd all agree that we want to see him handle a road environment, you know, because I do think there are going to be moments where it's going to be pretty rowdy inside NRG Stadium. And he's going to have to find a way, you know, to make the operation clean as they get up to the line of scrimmage and then get a playoff.
With Blassen game out, with the edge rushers for the Texans being their most dangerous element of that defense, obviously I don't think we're going to be talking about Cole Kmet's snap count next week, because I think they're going to have to use a lot of two tight ends. I wouldn't be surprised if Mercedes Lewis sees a lot of time. And then Kmet, obviously, when you're not using a fullback, you're likely to use two guys, especially with your wide receivers depleted.
Well, don't forget this. In October of 2022, Tennessee played Alabama, and it was Darnell Wright versus Will Anderson. And I remember talking to the offensive line coach of Tennessee, Glenn Ellerbe, after the Bears drafted Darnell Wright, and him talking about just how calm Darnell Wright was in the week leading up to that game and knowing that he had what it took to sort of stifle Will Anderson. And he went out and he put some stuff on video that made his draft stock skyrocket around the league. It was a performance that was considered the signature performance of Darnell Wright's final season in college. And so he's got that in his back pocket, the confidence of understanding that he can do that, you know, and he can be a difference maker in that regard without needing a whole lot of extra help. That's not all that long ago that game was played. Danielle Hunter, we know how dynamic he's been throughout his first nine seasons. The Bears have to have a plan there to keep him from wrecking the game, and I think they'll come up with one. And so, a lot to look at there with the ability to slow down those two edge rushers who do a lot of things to cause some headaches.
Let's go backwards one last time for the week. Dan, you wrote a piece for the Tribune this week about the halftime adjustments, about the positive energy, about good teams finding a way to win. What did you learn about the culture and the Bears coaches and players' ability to adjust, which they showed last week?
Yeah, Speaks, and I don't even know if it was as much about adjusting with the X's and O's as it was being really, really steady and using a collective mindset to go win a football game. And I think that's what I found impressive on Sunday afternoon and then throughout this past week as I talked to guys in the locker room about what it was like. And you heard Tremaine Edmonds say that look, like, he walked in the locker room and he didn't hear any you know, grumbling. There was no finger pointing. There was nobody that was creating sort of the complaining negative energy in the locker room. There's just a bunch of guys that said, hey, we still can win this football game if we just play like ourselves. And we don't have to do too much. And we don't have to chase it all in one or two series. We just have to go one step at a time and win this football game. What I found most compelling when I talked to Tremaine is he said, you know, there is something powerful to saying that out loud to each other. We got this. You know, we got this. We're going to win this game. We're going to win this game. And saying it out loud just creates a contagious energy that they felt carried over out of the locker room at halftime into the third quarter. And they flipped the game. They got themselves back in it. And then obviously they made a play in the end to win it. I think that's a huge, huge victory for the Bears because it's a mindset victory. It's a belief victory. And to clear that hurdle in your season opener, it's a huge experience for a team as you get into games later in the year where you're down 10, 12, 13 points and you realize, hey, we've already come back from this. We're good. You know, we've got this. And you say it to each other, you believe it, and then you go about getting over the hump one play at a time.
If I said the number is 240 over under or under for Caleb Williams passing yards, where are you going?
Good number.
I'd probably go under. I mean, 93 is stuck in my head. So
it was a good year. It was a good year, Dan. I remember
it was
well.
A good year. Yeah. It was a good year.
Yeah, Pearl Jam's 10. No, maybe that was 92. I don't know.
Okay.
But yeah, no, so 93 is making you scared to go over on 240. That's understandable.
It feels like a long way away, doesn't it? Like that, it does. That's why I say that. And yeah. I just want to see some comfort from this offense and some rhythm for this offense before I start, subscribing to that.
Yeah, and it should be a week they lean on the run game. So I'd probably go under as well at this point. And I'm not going to freak out about that. You know, it's like my prediction that I made. And I don't know if you guys are going to divulge that here. If you want to send people to take the North for your official picks. You do what you want. But my prediction I made for the website was 27-24 Texans with the Bears taking strides offensively, but Caleb showing you his first NFL mistake.
You take that. Caleb Williams making progress and the Bears losing would not be a bad outcome. I said Bears would lose 24-21.
I said 27-16 Texans. It feels like a game where you're going to just see that they're a little bit of ways away yet. And they're going to get there. Look, like I went on the Take the North podcast a week ago and upped my win total for the season from 9 to 10. Mm. So you can feel the out of character optimism that I have in this football team right now. I just don't know that it's fully going to show up on Sunday night in this environment with some of the shorthanded things that they have to work around.
All right, Dan, we get to see you on Tuesday, right? I get to hang out with you on Tuesday. Is that true?
I believe so. I get to be your company, right?
Oh, like
that's a legitimate thing.
Yeah, that is a legitimate thing. Spiegel & Company on Tuesday will be me and Dan Weider. Had a great time with you last week. We're going to run it back, or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was. Anyway, enjoy yourself, safe travels, and let's have a good one on Sunday night.
Thanks, Dan.
Yeah, enjoy the game, fellas. Talk soon.
Thanks. It's Dan Weider right here on 670 The Score. A couple things we still need to get to. I want to talk about quarterback play with you and make sure you heard something that that we were able to grab from Shane Waldron yesterday. And also, there's a new voice breaking down quarterbacks and football tape. It's an old voice who's back. So does that mean he's a new voice? I don't know. I need help with all of it. Before we get out of here at 6, Mark Grody after us from 6 to 7 before Cubs pregame on 670 The Score.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off
and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Zach Gelb, feeling funky this afternoon. I want to go play golf with you, David. You and me and our respective foursomes. I had Paul Simon, Kurt Vonnegut, and Greg Maddux.
Wow, that's a fun group. Yeah, that's a fun group. I have the better, more fun group. I have Barack Obama, Jerry Seinfeld, and Tim McGraw.
Oh, yeah.
We are going to live like we were dying.
You guys are going to have a good time. Oh, yeah. I've got to drag around the corpse of Kurt Vonnegut.
I know, it's going to be tough. That's going to be... Where's he going to put? We're going to put him on the card.
That's a great question. I mean, we got two cards. I guess my bag would ride shotgun, so Vonnegut can sit in the back.
Yeah, probably so.
He'd probably laugh at that.
I won't care. I won't be. I'll just be listening to Seinfeld tell jokes.
Uh-huh.
President Obama pontificate and Tim McGraw sing.
I don't even want Paul Simon to play golf. I just want him to bring an acoustic guitar and just sit on the back and go through the songbook for me.
What an eclectic group.
Oh, yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
It's an eclectic group here on Spiegel & Company. It's Spiegel and David Haw this afternoon. So I just want to make sure you heard this. We followed through on like this quarterback conversation that's been percolating on this show.
Yep.
When Kurt Warner was talking about pure progression passers.
Yep.
And then, you know, Tim Jenkins was pushing back a little bit on it and saying it's actually a mix. And
the great pure progression passer controversy.
Oh, yeah. But really, it's just I want to get smarter, and I want to find out if Shane Waldron is a facile offensive coordinator.
Let's give it a listen.
I want to find out if he can, like, adjust to his quarterback and has a lot of tools in the bag or the box or whatever it is. God, I mess that up every time. I want to find out if he's not Matt Nagy, essentially. So Grody asked.
What's Mullen Hall, Chicago.
Mark Grody asked about the pure progression passer stuff.
You have to give me a second here, Speaks. This is on me. This is what happens. This is why Taney is the most valuable person at the radio station.
Yeah.
This is on me. Give me
okay.
One second.
That's all
right. Okay. We got you, Shane. We got your back.
There's a lot going on. Sean Sears is in there to save the day. That's always a good sign.
Sean Sears is here, and I thought it was, what day is it?
I know. It's Saturday. It's Sunday. You got it, Sean. And you got it, Shane.
Warner talked about this week about the, I'm not sure if this right, the pure progression style of quarterback play. And he said how it can be hard for young quarterbacks to execute. So what are your thoughts on that, and as opposed to other styles of teaching?
Yeah, I think there's always going to be a different mix and match of pure progressions, and then there's also coverage-based reads. And then within different systems and different plays, you're gonna have the ability to do both, whether it's a pure progression play that you know you can cancel out certain areas of that progression based on a pre-snap read. And I think, for us, I think, the statement for the different quarterbacks, I can only speak of the experiences that I've had. You know, each quarterback has had, different feels for certain plays and different ways that they look through it. Some guys have loved pure progressions. Other guys would want to go coverage base first. And I think, for us, starting with some progression reads, but also mixing and matching. So it's not it's a tough one to say it's a one size fits all. I think we have good skill players. We have good tight ends, good running backs, good receivers. And so for us, it's about whether it's a play that's a progression based play or a coverage based play, clean eyes, clean feet, and then all 11, being where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be. That's a starting point for us. And it's something that we're working to improve each week.
So I love that there's lots of options in there, and he's saying the right things in terms of seeing what his quarterback is good at and giving his quarterback some shortcuts to make it easier as he gets some reads pre-snap and gets better at this.
As he should. Every good coach will. Clean eyes, clean feet. A lot of it's going to rest simply just on the innate ability for a quarterback to process information quickly, whether it's coverages, whether it's a progression. you know it when you see it. And I think that when you have a guy like Caleb Williams, it's very difficult to want to put him in a box or to coach or teach him a certain way based on what the way you think he learns. It's hard to really describe or articulate, and I imagine to coach, because so much of this stuff is natural. So much of this stuff is just either you have it or you don't. You can see some guys who are very gifted in terms of the way they throw the ball, the release, they're athletic, all the things, and then they get in a situation, they're in the pocket, and they're asked to kind of like read the progression, and it's difficult, and then there's a breakdown. It's not natural for them. I think when you see Caleb Williams, one size does fit all, because he will apply his own instincts to what he's taught and how he's instructed to learn and to make decisions, and he'll make them quickly.
Yeah, it's good stuff. David Haw right here with Matt Spiegel on The Score. It's interesting. And then I reference this, got a couple other things we want to bring to you before 6 o'clock. John Gruden is back breaking down quarterback tape and NFL offense. This is interesting. The man banished from the league and banished from football media, too.
Canceled, essentially.
Yeah.
John Gruden's canceled by the NFL.
Yeah.
And he is trying to work his way back. I think he applied for maybe a couple coaching jobs at some point during his exile.
Did he? Like offensive coordinator jobs?
College head coaching jobs, perhaps. He was rumored maybe having some of his representatives sniff around to see if they would be viable for him to be hired. Hmm. The Indiana University job comes to mind. I think he was rumored there to maybe taking a look. But he is back breaking down tape as only he can, because he does have a way of entertaining an audience, and his football knowledge speaks for itself.
Yeah,
he's not exiled, and he hasn't been canceled by NFL types because he doesn't know enough about the game.
Right, he was at Chiefs camp a month ago. Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes were enjoying having him at Chiefs camp.
When you are a two-time defending Super Bowl champion, you can invite who you want.
I think that's true.
Yeah. I didn't really have a problem with him. Like, he was good with us. We had a good time with Coach Gruden.
Uh-huh. Did you ever read any of the emails, Pat?
I was not privy to the emails. I was not on them. I did hear about what some of them said, and obviously a little problematic.
Yeah.
But when he was with us, we had a great time.
I really appreciate you advising and encouraging people to register to vote this week, Pat.
And vote for who you want. Exactly. You don't really have to listen to Taylor Swift if you don't want to.
I got you. Am I right that your agenda is ketchup-based in terms of who you're going to vote for?
Well, I mean, I have a concept for an agenda, but I wouldn't say that I have one.
Stay away from my dog, okay? So,
the golden retrievers don't taste good anyway because they're bad dogs.
Oh God, what is happening? What is happening?
Back to Gruden, safe topics.
John Gruden.
When you talk about Gruden,
uh-huh.
He went to social media and he has a lot to say.
He's got his own website, David.
Well, he should, because look, regardless of what you think about him and why he is out of the league, when he's talking ball, you know it better.
Yeah. Gruden Loves Football is the name of the site and the name of his Twitter account. Gruden Loves Football. Interesting. I'm curious as to what he says about Caleb Williams needing to make throws from the pocket.
The Chicago Bears, down 17-3 last week, find a way to win. That's what they have to do with this young football team and young quarterback. Under any circumstances, just find a way to win. That was very impressive. Although for some people, it wasn't pretty enough for you, was it? Well, a win is a win in the National Football League. That's a heck of a way to start the season. Caleb Williams, they want to get him going. I kept hearing this all the time from the owner and the media. Hey, why don't you just get your young quarterback some completions to start the game? Okay, what do you want me to call? Bootlegs? Screens? People are on to that. Caleb Williams is going to have to drop back, stand in the pocket, and throw the ball against a very good defense in this crowd noise to win it. That is a fact.
That's John Gruden. He's right that they tried to call a bunch of boots and stretch plays and stuff, and Tennessee was not having it.
Well, they need to find a way to do that effectively. They need to find a way to move the pocket so Caleb Williams is playing to his strengths.
Uh-huh.
John Gruden's exactly right. He saw what everyone else saw. Right now, Caleb Williams struggled in the pocket. Every team, when they talked to, I think it was Kalen Bullock, the teammate of Caleb Williams at USC, the safety for the Houston Texans, he said it in the locker room. This is what they're trying to do on Sunday night. Keep him in the pocket because he's less dangerous, and when he's on the move, he's a problem.
God, that Frank Caliendo's getting good, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
He really is. Really good. He's getting really, really good. Here's Gruden on the Bears' run game approach from week one. I'm interested to hear this.
The running backs, I can't understand where the Bears are going with their running back by committee they showed in week one. The Bears used four different running backs last week. Kind of uncommon. I don't know how they get any of them into a rhythm. We all know that Swift came over from Philadelphia to be the feature back. But in his carries, four of them went for negative yardage. There's nothing worse than calling a running play that loses yardage. You know, that's when Chucky came out. You hand the ball off to the back, and he loses 3 yards. That happened four times last week. Oh my God. They also used Herbert, who I think is a very good complimentary back, just a couple times. I saw Travis Homer come in and carry the ball. They even used Jones, a converted wide receiver. Four different Bears carried the ball. I'd like to see Swift get about 22 shots at it this week, personally. The Bears are going to use a no-back set. I think that's something Caleb feels comfortable with. I would expect the Texans to try to exploit that this week because they're light in pass protection. Anytime you go no-backs, they know you just have five protectors. So look for the Texans to bat some balls and create some rush opportunities in these no-back empty formations.
Makes me not want to see the no-back empty formation very
often. I don't think you will. I think Chucky knows his football, but the Bears also aren't oblivious to the fact that the way that the Titans attack them up the middle is the way that the Texans are going to try to attack them on the edge. So when you do that and you don't have your fullback, as we said with Dan Weidrich, you're going to have double tights. I wouldn't be surprised if they come out in two tight ends and stay that way for a lot, maybe even passing downs. You're going to have your buddy Max protection, right? Or he's going to...
And Chip Help.
Chip Help
both
as well.
Both of them are going to have to show up. Max Protect and Chip Help are very important.
They're
going to
be active on Sunday.
David, please don't enable him with this. Now he's going to go back to
anybody.
The Odyssey versus the Audacity. We're going to bring that back.
Can we bring that back? Yeah, we can. David, you enable me as much as you want.
I know. I'm fine. I'm here for another 20 minutes, and then I'm out. I'm done enabling. Look, but Chucky knows his football, even though he's leaning into the character that we call him.
He really is leaning into.
He really is leaning into the mad scientist, isn't he?
He sounds more like Caliendo than Caliendo ever did.
I just think, though, he's predicting that, you know, there are bats and passes and all the things. The one thing he said that resonated, I think, with me the most, though, if you're trying to establish an identity, if you're trying to establish a running game like the Bears need to do, like we heard Shane Waldron say he wants to do, stop splitting carries. DeAndre Swift is your guy. If he is, prove it. Give him 20 touches. Don't distribute the wealth. This isn't a football welfare system. Give the ball to the guy who deserves it, who's going to move the chains. DeAndre Swift is that guy.
You're listening to a Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric Football Friday, presented by your local Ford dealers and itsnotagameillinois.com. Reminder, join the Score's Shane Reardon, I know that guy, for a football watch party this Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. at The Wall in Marcus Gurney's Cinemas when Chicago takes on Houston in primetime. You can enjoy some great food and drink and watch the game on The Wall's massive screen. That's Sunday from 6 to 8 with Shane at The Wall in Marcus Gurney's Cinema. And I think Shane is going to stick around and watch the game up there. That is a tremendous place, a converted movie theater. It's just an absolutely awesome sports bar now. So go hang with Shane at The Wall in Gurney. We'll come back and hear from the Bears' defensive tone setter on what he thinks the game plan ought to be for the Houston Texans. We'll do that next with Spiegs and Haw on the Score.
I mean, I don't know.
I don't expect you to say no. I guess what I'm asking you,
yeah,
though.
I'm just not fair what kind of question that is.
Can we
word it differently?
Yeah, fair enough.
Jalen Johnson, not a huge fan of that guy's questions. And I think that's why that guy left.
Is that why?
That's pretty much.
Jalen's fault?
Yeah. Jalen drove him away. Oh, I can't be there with Jalen, and Bears season's coming. Hope Danny's having a good time. He was on this week. He was on Spiegel & Company back when it was still called Score Afternoons, the halcyon days of Tuesday. Is when he was on. We'll tell you what's happening next week in a matter of moments, but I wanted to listen to this. You and me, this is Jalen Johnson, David Haw, David Haugh, this is Jalen Johnson. Jalen talking about how the defense is game planning for C.J. Stroud and the Texans. This was on Speak on FS1 earlier.
Bears cornerback Jalen Johnson, big matchup this weekend against Houston. Tell us a little bit about preparing for C.J. Stroud.
I mean, really, I feel like you just see threats all over the field. I mean, just starting with C.J. running the show and then him really being able to extend plays, that's really one of the hardest things. I mean, it's hard to cover somebody in their first route, and then they start running two and three more routes, throwing the ball across the field. That's when things really get difficult being a DB. But I think just overall, really just got to have your eyes in the right spots. They can do double moves and take the top off the defense. So we just have your eyes in the right spot, be consistent, have good feet, good eyes, and then go out there and finish on the ball whenever you get that opportunity, because you know the ball's going to be put out there in the air for sure. So I think just for me, for the defense, we just want to have good eyes, good communication, go out there and limit explosives, hit CJ a lot as many times as we can, try to get him on the ground, get him uncomfortable, and then really just put hands on the wide receivers and challenge them best we can.
What does the former MAC defensive back take from that?
You want to make CJ Stroud uncomfortable. You have to get physical with him and make sure that he knows that you're there. Intimidation is not necessarily something that NFL quarterback is going to be, but you want to do whatever you can to make him feel the pressure. And as for Jalen Johnson, there's nothing he fears. There's nothing he fears on whoever the opponent is, whoever the receiver is. He's going to make an impact. When he sounds like that, the confidence that you see on the field, you hear in his voice, and this is somebody that is on an arc where he is becoming one of the more elite corners in football, if he isn't already.
Looking forward to talking to him on Monday. Just really touched on it a little last week, and I want to touch on a little more. Of course, we'll talk about the game and everything, but like the fact that he's come back after the contract with this much drive and this much anger and this much fire is just so interesting to me psychologically. We don't have to go that far back to remember a Bears secondary player who got paid and pulled his foot off the gas.
You don't have to go very far in any sport to find that. Typically, that's the cliche. Get the big contract, you lose your edge, you lack motivation, and you become somebody who is overpaid. Jalen Johnson has what the great players find, an edge. A perceived slight. It doesn't have to be a real one. Wherever he can find it, it's good enough for him to use.
Yes.
So this is a guy who is a rare athlete in that he has the ability, he has the swagger, and he can back it up. So good for him.
You'll love this, David. I was talking to him off the air when he was in here the other day about him and his dad and his brother, who are all defensive backs. His dad played defensive back in college. His brother did. So the three of them, they sit around and they talk technique, you know, at the dinner table when they're hanging out, right? And so I brought that up. I said, I can't stop thinking about that when I see you, man. Like, it's a family business. And Jalen said, yeah, it's funny. Just now, my dad said, I don't think I got anything more to teach you, man. I think you passed me
That's
by.
Great.
Isn't that cool?
That's great. It is cool. And it makes me think of the Hard Knocks snippet where he asked Roma Dunze to run some option routes because he wanted to get better at reading somebody, whether it's the hips or whether it's the shoulder, whatever it is, reacting to a route so you can jump it, you can respond, or whatever the case may be. He's always trying to work at getting better.
Yes.
There's not enough time in the day for him to perfect his craft. And the fact that his family, it is the family business. So, the Bears are fortunate.
Yes.
They did the right thing in locking him up. They've got their foundational piece in the secondary. And he's already, his first game was elite in terms of coverage skills.
Dan Bernstein and Lauren.
Here's what's coming up.
Redirect.
On Spiegel & Company next week. On Monday, it'll be me and Patrick Manley, fresh off the Sunday night thriller, he said out loud, trying to will it into existence.
Okay.
Me and Pat Manley on Monday.
Awesome.
On Tuesday, Spiegel and Dan Wiederer from the Chicago Tribune.
Nice.
Wednesday is a Cubs day game as they are back at the friendly confines. I've got you solo after that with all the latest from Bears practice, probably with Mark Grody at 5 o'clock.
Okay.
And then Thursday, it's me and a big old TBA, but that's going
to
be awesome.
That's good company to keep, Speaks.
Thanks, buddy. And then Friday, another Cubs day game, and I got you solo. I'm enjoying this in the meantime while we While we wait for some finality, which we suspect will be coming soon, everybody's done a great job of stepping up and being a part of this show. Spiegel & Company has been a lot of fun. Thank you to Shane Reardon for doing a great job today, stepping in Tanny's absence in the back half of the show.
And I literally didn't, but thank you.
Okay. But no, you did. What? You mean doing a great job? Oh, no.
Not on the Tanny part, no.
Oh, okay. But on the other stuff.
On the Shane part.
Yeah, the Shane part. Shane part was better than
Excellent
usual.
Stuff.
So the Tanny.
Where's the bourbon?
The Tanny part.
I'll take that.
Yeah. David never got his bourbon, but that's okay. Thank you to Chris Tannehill for doing a great job that he always does. Hope he has a peaceful and restful weekend. David Hoff, thank you so much for being here, man. Appreciate
great
it.
Great time, Speegs. Anytime you need an extra hand, I will ask around to see if I can find somebody.
Thank you to Mark Grody, who was on the show today, Olin Kreutz, and Dan Wiederer. Thanks to you, the Score listener, the texter, the mob, Twitcher, and all of you for listening and being a part of it. Mark Grody has you next up until Cubs pregame at 7 o'clock. Thanks for listening, as always, to 670 The Score.
Listen, of course it feels great. I'll be honest with you, I'm exhausted. So, like, I just, you know, I want to go home, put the feet up, drink a beer, and just, you know, so it feels real good. I'm just proud of them. I really am.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.